Whom dost thou make thyself to be? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, we have entered into the great season of Passiontide. We are meditating almost exclusively on the mysteries of our redemption, on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there are very many people out in the world, some who will even claim the name of Christ as part of their title, saying that they are Christians, and yet they do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. They ignore quite simply the fact of who he says that he is. And there are very many, even in the Catholic Church this day, that will try to pick and choose among what our Lord Jesus Christ has said, what they can follow, what they like, what is nice to them. And we've heard very often about this ideal of Jesus, this ideal Jesus Christ who is, he's not this stern commandment giver, but he's very nice, is the word that they would probably use. But they ignore something entirely. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is quite simply God of God, light of light, true God of true God. And they would see that if they would but spend some more time examining sacred scripture. When we look at the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we look at his actions, we cannot help but reach the conclusion, who dost thou make thyself? Who is this man claiming to be? He is claiming to be the Son of God. And he is backing it up by his actions. We cannot get around that. We cannot say for ourselves we would like just to have this nice moral teaching, perhaps only the Sermon on the Mount, but none of those things about sacraments or a church or commandments. We want to take him as a moral teacher like Socrates or Aristotle. But we cannot. We cannot escape this fact. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We cannot pick and choose among sacred scripture the things that suit our fancy or the things that are more suitable for our times. We take our Lord Jesus Christ as he has revealed himself to us. And this is especially clear in today's gospel. It's not the only case. There are many cases that we're going to see that our Lord Jesus Christ shows that he is the Son of God. But especially today in today's gospel, we know exactly what's going on. The Jews said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." There are two things going on here. The first one is the one that most of us will pick up right away, the use of the different tenses. You're not yet 50 years old. You have seen Abraham. This is an impossibility for the Jews. And our Lord is saying, "Before Abraham came to be, I am." What he is saying there, first of all, is that he is eternal. Before Abraham was born, some 3,000 years beforehand, our Lord Jesus Christ already was and already is and ever shall be without change. He is claiming eternity, which is one of the properties of Almighty God. That is the first thing we notice by this very simple phrase of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before Abraham came to be, I am. But much more than a simple use of verb tenses. That phrase has a particular significance to his hearers there, and then even so to us as well. That phrase, I am, connotes with it a lot more than just those two words, I am. Because we know back when Moses was speaking to Almighty God, when God appeared to him in the burning bush, Moses asked him, when God sent him to go and speak to the children of Israel, Moses asked him, "What name shall I tell them? What is your name? What is the name of God?" And Almighty God answered, "I am who am." If we wanted to get theological, we could talk about ipse en subsistens. God is being himself. All being has its root, its source from Almighty God, the first cause and the ultimate end of all things. If we don't want to get theological, that is the name of God. I am who am, ipse en subsistens, ego sum qui sum. And for our Lord Jesus Christ to use this exact same phrase, speaking about himself, there is no mistaking his meaning. He is calling himself by the name of Almighty God. And the Jews understand exactly what he is saying, because what is their reaction? they pick up stones in order to kill him. Why do they want to kill our Lord Jesus Christ after he has just revealed to them this tremendous mystery that he is the Son of God? Because they don't want it. They don't like it. Because it means, first of all, that they were wrong. It does not fit in their idea of how they wanted to become saints. It does not fit in the things that they have been teaching. It does not fit in their traditions, and they don't like it, and so they want to get rid of it. The same thing will come up on Good Friday. Caiaphas, the high priest, in his role as high priest, will ask our Lord Jesus Christ, "I adjure you in the name of the living God, if thou be the Son of God, tell us." And our Lord says, "You have said it. I am." But that's not what Caiaphas wants to hear. He does not want to know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All he wants is an occasion to put him to death. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he did claim this by his words. This is not the only occasion. We have that very famous occasion, of course, where our Lord is speaking with the apostles, and he asks them, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they say, some say Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. And St. Peter is more bold. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, promised of old, the Old Testament. For all these years we have been expecting. But much more than that, much more beyond the wildest dreams of the prophets, you are God of God, light of light of light, very God of very God." And our Lord rewards St. Peter's confession of faith. And again, our Lord will speak. He will give parables. He will tell his hearers that he is going to come to judge the living and the dead, which belongs to God. He is going to tell them in the whole Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, but I say to you." This is something we gloss over very quickly when we read our sacred scripture, but it is something monstrous if it were a normal man saying this. "You have heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill." Who said that? Where? Almighty God said it to Moses on Mount Sinai. And our Lord is saying, "You have heard this said, but I say to you," in addition to this, clarifying this. Our Lord is claiming in the Sermon on the Mount the same power to make laws as Almighty God. That's something that many of the Protestants, they completely miss. They like to hear the moral teachings, but they do not like to hear our Lord Jesus Christ claim that he is the Son of God. And he does. And then we have those two occasions. Our Lord is teaching in the house of Simon Peter. They can't bring a paralyzed man in to hear this teaching, to see our Lord, and so they cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. And as they lower him before our Lord, what does our Lord say to him? He doesn't say, "Get up and walk," right away. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees who are there immediately start thinking within themselves, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And they're right. Because who can forgive sins but God alone? And our Lord Jesus Christ, in order to teach them that he has the power to forgive sins, says to the man, "Get up and walk." And he tells them, "I am working this miracle in order that you may believe that I have the power to forgive sins." And therefore, because he can tell that man to get up and walk, he has that power to forgive sins, and who can forgive sins but God alone? Again, the same conclusion. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God of God. The same thing happens with St. Mary Magdalene. Many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. Again, that same reaction. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And here is our Lord Jesus Christ having the power to forgive sins. And so our Lord, by his actions, by his words, proved that he was the Son of God. And much more important than this is that his enemies understood exactly what he was saying. They knew exactly what he said. Even if today they like to pretend otherwise, those at the time who saw his actions, who heard his words, they knew exactly who our Lord Jesus Christ was claiming to be. "I and my Father are one." The Jews then took up stones again to stone him. And our Lord said to them, "For what good work dost thou stone me? For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They knew exactly what our Lord was saying when he said, "I and the Father are one. He is the Son of God." And they did not like it. Also from the Gospel of St. John. The Jews therefore sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. From Good Friday itself, the high priest asked him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the blessed God?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we have any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all said, "He is guilty of death." Our Lord tells them very plainly, and they do not like it, not at all. And then the real reason he is put to death. "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." This will be the final sentence of the crowds when spoken before Pilate, and this will be what sentences our Lord Jesus Christ to death, what sentences him to his sacred passion. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered his sacred passion because he was the Son of God. He told his hearers that he was the Son of God, and they did not want that. They had some other idea. They did not want our Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And far too often we have joined them. Far too often by our sins we have crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. We have rejected him. We have rejected his promises. We have rejected his law. And we have sentenced him to death. Now that we're entering the season of our Lord's sacred passion, truly meditate on his passion. Meditate on the cross, because it is by far the best remedy for sin, and it is the best deterrent for sin. How can we continue to sin when we are presented with, first of all, the consequences of our own sin, what our sins have wrought to our Lord Jesus Christ? How can we continue to sin when we see the love of the Sacred Heart for us anyway, when we see the charity for the Sacred Heart while we were still his enemies, when he is praying for us on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Let us therefore stand together with our sorrowful and immaculate mother at the foot of the cross, meditating on our Lord's sacred passion, flying from sin and living for Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.